Hello. Welcome to Living Well Lifestyle Seminars with Perry A. I'm your host for today, Perry A. I'm the author of Living Clay and a co-founder of the Living Clay Company, and it brought to my awareness that there was a piece missing, a link missing in wellness this day. I'd have a lot of people who were doing everything right to heal their bodies, and their bodies still not responding. And when I asked them about stress, they said, yes, they had a lot of stress in their life. And body follows mind. So I thought there was a need for a seminar that was a lifestyle seminar, how we can find our way to peace and calm and to be at peace with what is. So we started these seminars. And we encourage people to ask their questions. If you're on the computer, you can email a question, or if you have something you want to discuss, let me know about it. Last week we had a daily affirmation, and I hope everyone sort of read their affirmation each day. And I'm going to do the same affirmation, only I'm adding to it for this week. This week the affirmation is, every day in every way I'm getting better and better and better. I am stronger, wiser, healthier, and more content. I am peacefully calm, and I trust myself. So I invite each person to put that somewhere where each morning when you get up, you can read it. You can print out when we're through. We'll send a summary of today's session where that you can print all these quotes out. And I always pick a Louise Hay quote, and for this week, the Louise Hay quote wisdom card is, all is well in my world. Everything is working out for my highest good. Out of this situation, only good will come. I am safe. And if we could believe that, how much peaceful could we be? The universe always moves to support you. Last week, I did want to repeat one of the quotes from Abraham Hicks. It is not attention to lack of wellness that makes you sick. It is attention to the lack of many things. Chronic attention to unwanted things holds you in a place of disallowing your physical well-being, as well as disallowing solutions to other things you are focused upon. If you would focus your attention upon the experience of physical well-being as much as you focus upon the absence of it, not only would your recovery come quicker, but maintaining your physical well-being and balance would also be easy. That's from Abraham Hicks, The Law of Attraction. And the awareness quote for this week is, every cell in your body maintains a universal intelligence from God. Every cell also responds to every thought you have and all the words you speak. When your thoughts are based on love and abundant health, your cells will respond accordingly. Thoughts produce actions and reactions. Be careful what you think. This is the principle we have been having these discussions on, that your thoughts about yourself, your body follows your thoughts. If you think you're not healthy, if you think you have candida and it's infested your whole body, the more you think on it, the more you're feeding the candida, literally. So focus on well-being. Think of a time when you were healthy. Read some affirmations and watch your thoughts. Be very careful about complaining. Complaining about your health will perpetuate the cycle because that's what you're focused on. So you want to change your focus to something light and happy. And it's not always easy. It's something that we practice and we learn. So I have a banner I got and a bracelet, and it's a complaint-free world. How to live in a complaint-free world. And when I started wearing it, the principle was you put it on one arm, and every time you complain, you have to switch it to the other arm until you can go 21 days without switching it. And 21 days is the length of time to break a pattern. So it's being conscious of how you're complaining. And you can make a statement, you can state a fact like it's hot outside. But if you keep whining about being it's hot outside, when you know you live in a hot climate and it's summertime and it's going to be hot, you know, if you don't like it, don't get out in it, but don't complain about it. So I have a bumper sticker and it says, "This is a complaint-free world." And I put that on my office door and our workplace, at the Living Clay Company. It's a complaint-free world. We bring happy thoughts. If you want to make a statement about something that's wrong, a complaint, let's find a solution. Let's not just keep whining about it. So we're very open to handling solutions. So I invite you to be conscious that every cell in your body is listening to everything you say. Every cell responds to every thought you have, all the words you speak. When your thoughts are based on love, abundant health, your cells respond accordingly. So we're talking about being careful what you think. Now, I also noticed a pattern with some people that when they are in their worry mode, worry is about not being able to decide. And I found an article I wrote some time ago called "As Soon as I Decide." And it starts with, "Doubt is the result of conflicting messages." That's from A Course in Miracles. "Be sure of what you want and doubt becomes impossible. As soon as I decide, the doorway will open to me. As soon as I decide, I can begin my journey to new horizons. As soon as I decide I truly want a new and lasting relationship, I will have it. What makes a relationship work? I do. What makes my life work? I do. Whose attitude creates it? Mine. What if life were all that easy, just deciding? Well, it is the first major step in opening the door to what I really want in life. It is indecisions that keep me in confusion. Until I decide on something, I just continue to go around and around with all the possibilities. It's a glorious state of procrastination that stems from demanding guarantees about the outcome. Without the action of deciding, I stay on the treadmill of life, a victim of my own mind." And this I wrote about myself, so you can see I've been there, done that. The second step is to trust. Trust in yourself. Trust in the universe to support you. Trust the one that created you in his likeness. And there's a little poem I like called "The Edge of Flight." When you come to the edge of all the light you know, and you're about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. There will be something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. I was stepping into a new relationship. I wanted it, but I was still attached to the failure of my previously happily ever after dream that didn't happen. The one that didn't last as I had planned. As the time for commitment drew near, I felt myself looking for an escape, a hidden back door. What ifs began to run in my mind. I had not fully decided, and I was demanding guarantees. I needed to be sure it would work this time. I needed to know I would not feel the pain of disappointment and failure again. There was no trust, only a bundle of fears. I had what ifs attached to my dreams. All I decided for sure is that I might need a back door. My attention was not on succeeding, but on making a plan for failure. I realized I was not on board 100%. My commitment was a lie. Had I always lived my life with a back door? When did I decide I was powerless without a way out? I heard this voice, "Honey, you have fun, but here's a quarter just in case something happens and you need a ride home. You take this quarter and hide it in your purse or slip it in your shoe. If something goes wrong," I could hear my mother's voice echoing in my mind, "you be sure and call me." Well, there was the belief. It was formed many years ago. I am the creator of my doubt and my success. My commitment to courage to go for what I want in life. I reconsidered. I decided to go for what I want, 100%. Anything less than 100% is a lie, not a commitment. It's up to me to teach people how to treat me. I have the power to speak my truth. As soon as I decide 100%, the doors will open to me. I decide, I trust, I fly. So did you get it? As soon as you decide 100%, the doors will open to you. Opportunities will come. But if we're always looking for a way out, there's that lingering doubt that keeps us from going forward. You know, when I decided I want to do this business, I had to make a commitment to it, and I knew I couldn't do two businesses well. I had a very good speaking business. I was a motivational speaking, but I was passionate about the clay and what it could do for people, and so I decided to go to 100% with the clay and just let my speaking business kind of fade away. I still do it occasionally, but not often. Today I'm speaking about clay. I have a new passion. So I'm still talking. It's a different type of talk. And I'm not doing it so much, I'm not speaking my motivational talk for my livelihood. So indecisions will keep you in a conundrum. It will keep you on the treadmill of being a victim. Make a decision. I started noticing people that they make a decision and they believe that that's the best decision in the whole world. And they just know it's going to work out and therefore it does. They don't have the doubts. They're not afraid of failure. They're not afraid of trying again. So let go of your fears and be willing to make a decision. Even if it's something small about what color of paint are you going to be using, it can make a big difference in your life. So I want to invite all of you to look at where in your life you may be a person that doesn't make decisions and just simply decide and let go of needing a guarantee. Just know when you decide, the doors will open to you to the degree that you believe you will achieve, and things will happen. So I'm going to go over and look for a moment and see if we have any questions. Oh, we do. And there's some clay questions here. I give 2 Satella seminars a month on clay, and I guess these people thought this was a clay seminar, but we will go ahead and address this. Would clay work for pancreatic cancer? Honey, I don't make claims on cancer. Clay will help the body support itself through an illness. It will help balance the situation. Pancreatic cancer is usually pretty severe and a sign that it's already spread. If I had it, I would put some clay over the pancreas area, a poultice, but I'm not saying that's going to get you any results. It's just won't hurt to try. Sarah in Lebanon, what's the difference in using clay and using charcoal? Joyce had a program on charcoal today, and it sounded very similar in the way it worked. They are similar in absorbing, and yet they're totally 2 different quality things. And they will get a lot of the same results, but they do it differently. They both have a vacuum, and so they both are drawing agents. Clay, I believe, is stronger, the ionic charge, the fact that it is a catalyst that works with the body. Charcoal will absorb, internally from your intestines, toxins, and things of that nature. But as far as being a catalyst that works with the body, I've never heard of people using charcoal topically on a wound to heal it or to put it on a burn, say, or even using it, you wouldn't want to smear charcoal all over your forehead for a headache to bring the energy. Clay has an energy and a vibration to it that resonates with all the cells in your body. Clay also has a 9.7 pH. So there are a lot of differences between it, and yet when you hear it, they have some similarities in what they do. I'm just a strong believer in the clay and find that it works 100% better. Betty Warren in Michigan, you mentioned the Mastermind Principle. Are you familiar with Unity in Missouri or Jack Boland? Yes, Betty, I am. I learned the Mastermind Principle through the Unity Church and the Church of Today, and had some of Jack Boland's books, and I teach from the principles that he wrote. The Mastermind Principle is where you get three or four people together that support you in following your dream. And what you do is you work on something you want in your life, and you make a request, and the team supports you in seeing your request coming true. They don't try to fix and tell you how to do it. If you want to start a new business, they don't give you advice. They say, oh, I see you in your floral business. Your house is full of beautiful silk flowers and arrangements. Your husband is converting the garage into a workspace because you have so many orders to fill. And everybody loves them, and they're telling their friends and neighbors about them, and it looks like you're going to quit your day job in 2 or 3 weeks. And to the degree that you believe, you can achieve. Now, if you had doubts about being able to do it, oh, I can't do it, I don't know this, or I don't have that, you will tie anchors onto your dream and weigh it down. So when you get rid of the lack thinking and people believe for you, it's the same principle as intercessory prayer. So it's other people believing for you what you can't believe for yourself. And sometimes we say it in light ways. I just know the angels are so happy that you made this request. They want peace, love, and joy and harmony in your family reunion. And they're going to be out there sprinkling their magic dust, just making everybody there happy and grateful to be there and loving and kind and caring. So that's the principle of the Mastermind group. I have been in one with three ladies, and we meet once a month, and we've been doing it for 3 years now, and it's really changed our lives. We hate to miss a time, and it uplifts us. It gives you support. And like I said, it's the same thing as intercessory prayer. It's other people believing for you what you can't believe for yourself. And when they help you see it and you can feel it and believe it, then all of a sudden during the week, these opportunities just show up. There are no accidents. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's someone with something to offer you that you've been looking for, the missing link, the missing piece. And if you're familiar with it, Betty, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you for that. Yes, Jack Boland started a magical thing there, and if you go to the Unity Church, he has a mastermind journal. It's got daily quotes. It's got a plan where you can write your 5-year plan, your 1-year plan. I'm not a planner. I kind of go by the seat of my pants. The closest plan I have is an intention, and I have intentions for everything I do. But there's no wrong way. So those of you who like to make lists, write things down, and stay on track, you will love his mastermind journal. Thank you for that. Well, I love it. This is the first day we've had some questions coming in. Diane Restman from Roundmark. I'm working hard toward teaching again, but have some major reservations as teaching in school system has become so difficult. I've been working as an ability coach and special ed teacher on a private basis, but I'm not good at taking other people's money and therefore don't have a very good business sense. How will I ever decide what to do? Well, you just decide what to do, and you look at why you don't want to take other people's money. You're giving a service, and what is your belief about money? What is your belief about receiving money? The world is abundant. There's all more money. When you get money for something, you're not taking money away from someone else. You're giving them something for it in exchange. And there are a lot of beliefs around that. So you can look in your belief about money, whatever your belief is. Now, notice one belief here is that you have that teaching in school system has become difficult. What if you had to pull the belief that teaching in school systems was easy and wasn't difficult? You've got some proof to back it up, and you prove it, and you're going to stand by your belief, so you get to have it, you know, that way. Whatever you believe will become your reality. What if you have the belief, I'm a good enough teacher and opportunities are going to open up to me and I can step through that door easily and fulfill that need? You know, there are miracles every day. And even though there's a backlog of teachers and a lot applying for a job, if you believe in yourself that you can be the best teacher in the world, they can't not turn you down. It will glow from you. It will come out in every pore of your body. But if you have that doubt, and the main thing you do is you just decide and take a chance. You bet on something. You know, I had to let go of one business to start another one. I wouldn't do both of them justice. So I had to decide between my speaking business and the clay business. And I decided to let my speaking business go. I just don't market it anymore. Occasionally someone calls me. I may get one or two a year. And I love it when I do it. I still love it. But I'm more passionate about the clay business. It's brought me in touch with so many people. And even starting this teleseminar, my growth has been so much good. So you make your mind up, and you just decide. If you would like to call me and talk about this at a later time, my number is 512-262-7187. Thank you. I love it today. We're getting some feedback and some questions. Karen at Crestone, can you think of a way to use clay to prevent bites from mosquitoes? No seams, etc. Thank you and bless you. Well, you could walk around with clay on you, but that would be a little uncomfortable. You might dust the clay powder on you. I don't know if that would prevent them or not. I know I've heard that it prevents, if you sprinkle it on your dogs, it prevents fleas. I still haven't seen any proof of that. I don't have any dogs to check it out. I just heard that. I would carry a little container of hydrated clay with me, and when you get one of those bites, put it on there. I've heard you can take a dryer sheet, you know, one of these that makes your dryer clothes smell good, and rub it on you, and it will keep the insects away. And I know if you're in chiggers, if you will use Arm & Hammer baking soda and put it around your ankles, it will keep them from coming up your legs. Won't do any good if you sit and roll in the grass, though. So I'm sure there are other preventatives for that. And if you do get a bite, put the clay on it immediately, and it will pull the venom out and stop the itching. So that's the best I can do for that one. Thank you for those questions. And I'm going to refresh one more time and see if we have anything coming in. Looks like I've answered those. I thank you for the questions. It's nice to know somebody is out there. It's about time for our devotional. So I'm going to do a devotional today on surrendering. And I do have, we want to talk about forgiveness. Letting go and forgiveness are imperative. And so many times when we hold anger, resentment, and non-forgiveness in our bodies, that contributes to ill health. We have this energy, this negative energy that weighs us down. It blocks the good things from coming in. So if we can let go and release. So I have a little forgiveness verse here. I forgive you for anything you may have done to me. I forgive myself for any mean or hurtful thing I may have done or said to you. I give you permission to forgive me. I forgive myself for having taken anything you did in a way that was not useful to me. And I love that little forgiveness quote because it pretty much covers you and me. So I'm going to turn the music on and we're going to sit back and take a deep breath and get into a relaxed state and work on surrendering and letting go, surrendering to love. Let me adjust my music first and we'll get started here. This is Valley of the Clouds, this music, and it was from the Unity Church, too. That's where I bought that one. All right. Sit back and take a deep breath. Breathe in deeply, 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 and exhale slowly, slowly. All the air out, expelling all that stale air in the bottom of your lungs. In, breathe in and relax. Holding on to your breath. Breathing in and relax. Exhaling. Love is life's process. I'm getting a call from a lady that's usually on the line, and I don't know what to do here. I hope everybody is able to hear this, and something happened, and the call hasn't dropped. Okay, let's get back to a state of peace. Listen to the music, breathe, and relax. Let go and release any tension in your head, neck, and shoulders, just all the way down through your body. With each breath in and exhalation, you're releasing the tension, the tightness, and you're allowing the energy to come back into your body to get grounded, bringing your energy of what you've been doing all day and what you have to do back into the now moment and into the body, just relaxing with each breath. Life is love's process. When our determination is given solely to accomplishing a list of tasks that we perceive as our life, then we have forgotten the greater process taking place. We have forgotten the whole of life. It's easy to get lost in fragments and to think we know where life is taking us. We don't. Life is love's process, and it's love's responsibility to direct the flow of life, to return control of our life to love, then, is to relinquish narrow perspectives and to acknowledge something greater is at work. We tend to think of surrender as a relinquishment of personal power, but to surrender to love is to surrender to that which lives within us, sustains us, and has never left us. The essence of our being is pure love. We are born pure love. In this way, then, surrender to love is a means by which we come into the greater personal power, the power of our own whole life. For 5 minutes at the beginning of each day, sit quietly in a quiet place. Begin early in life, thinking of milestones in your life, happy or unhappy. As each comes to mind, surrender it to love, using this thought. Here is a part of my life. I surrender it to love, that I may feel happy and whole in this moment. So think of a time, maybe when you were a child and big kids picked on you, and how you felt. And you want to let that go. You've been carrying that around subconsciously, and you know you have if you think of it and you tighten up when you feel it a little bit. You feel the pain again. You're reliving the anxiety. So bring that instant to mind and surrender it to love. Here is a part of my life. I surrender it to love that I may feel happy and whole. And go through your life and find incidences, what things that you regret, you wished you hadn't said. And this is the self-forgiveness. Can you know it wasn't to everyone's highest good?